Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Eicha Perek Aleph, the first chapter of the book of Eicha. The way we're going to do this is we're going to take a look at the overview, get a sense of the different pieces of the Perek, and then hone in on perhaps a few psukim of note in each of the sections. Our Perek is 22 psukim, which is the general rule for the book of Eicha because it is governed by the structure of the alphabet, or the Aleph Beis, and there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So each of the psukim correlates, the first letter is Aleph, and then Beis, and Gimel. It's also worth noting that every pasuk is broken down, with the exception of one pasuk, which I'll leave you to figure out which one it is broken up into six phrases. So let's take the first pasuk as an example. Echa Yoshua Badad, piece 1. Ha'ir Rabasi Om, part 2. Hayasaka Amona, part 3. Rabasi Bagoyim, part 4. Sarasi Babirinos, part 5. Hayasalamas, part 6. So every pasuk has a certain cadence, poetic cadence, as we're reading through it, and you can break it up into those six phrases. It's the same structure all the way through. It's worthwhile noting that our perek is divided into two basic sections. The first is Psukim Aleph to Yud, and then Psukim Yud to Chof Beis. It's almost as if Pasuk Yud, is a bridge Pasuk. We'll take a look and see why in just a second. Let's look at the first half for a moment. Pesukim Aleph to Yud. This section over here seems to be describing Yerushalayim's aloneness from the outside. The voice, if we were trying to analyze the voice, is speaking about descriptively as a third party. Here are some of the main themes that seem to emerge from these Pesukim. We talk about the calling out the seeming injustice of such a full city, so vibrant, now empty. This city which used to be so full is now empty, abandoned. We talk about one of the themes in this section is the abandonment from her allies. She cries all night, she has no comfort, all her friends have abandoned her, she has no comforter, all those who used to be friendly to her, those who love her, were no longer. But not only did they leave her, but they betrayed her. Her friends rebelled and were her enemies. Another theme in the section is cruelty of the enemies. She talks about those who took advantage of her, that her enemies took the head. And in fact, not only did they take the head, but the worst and the lowest of the low of humanity are allowed in. The enemy takes advantage of all of her beauty, her treasures. These people who could never before set foot upon the precinct of the Mikdash suddenly now become the controllers. Another theme in this section is nostalgia. She remembers the traffic on the roads which are now empty. The roads are empty, nobody's coming up for the festivals. She talked about the great leaders of past, of yesteryear, now wandering aimlessly. Her priests, her leaders are now struggling aimlessly. And she talks about the treasures of the time before, now forsaken. All those treasures of yesteryear. And finally, the fifth theme in this section is the sins which brought her about this. The author, Yirmiyahu, is describing that this wasn't just haphazard. This came because of her sins. Chet chata Yerushalayim al kein l'nidah yasa. She was pushed away because of her sins. Golso Yehuda me'oini u'merav avadah hi yashua bagoyim. There's no equivocating over here. It's not simply a pitying situation. This is something which was brought upon by themselves. We're going to look at two key psukim in this section. Then we're going to move on to the second section. The first pasuk we're going to focus on is pasuk Aleph, a very important pasuk in the Megillah. Eicha Yoshva Badad. How could it be that she sits alone? This city, this Ha'ir Rabasi Yom, the city which was full of people, Ha'isaka Amona, is now like a widow, Rabasi Bagoyim, Sarasi Bamididos, Ha'isalamas. This forefront metropolis is now a laid waste. So it's interesting, just on a couple of levels. Rashi points out a very heartening idea. And that is when it describes the city of Yerushalayim, it describes her like a widow, not a real widow, which means, the way Rashi describes it, it's as if her husband has abandoned her but has left to the sea. Not that he really died or disappeared, because he can come back. Which means that it's very important to realize that it's not Hoysa Almona, Hoysa Ke Almona. She was like a widow because there's the possibility of return. Embedded in the deep tragedy is the possibility of return. I want to share a Kabbalistic perspective on this pasuk as well, which is fascinating. And that is that if you look at the word Eicha, Eicha Yashua Badad, in fact, Eicha itself, the word Eicha, is an acronym for Ani Yirmiyahu Kohen Anasosi. I am Jeremiah, the priest from Anasos, which is the village that he grew up in. Which means it's clearly talking about from his perspective, which makes sense because you know he was the author. But here it gets more interesting. In fact, that if you look at the words Yashva, so Eicha is Yirmiyahu, the word Yashva, to sit, is also an acronym for Shlomo. Shlomo biyomav yecharav hamigdash. Shlomo, in his days, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, which is strange because Shlomo Melech built the Beis HaMikdash. Yirmiyahu witnessed the destruction, but Shlomo Melech had nothing to do with the destruction. Except that the Arizal quotes that there were four sins that Shlomo Melech was involved in. One was, he was involved in too many relationships. He got too involved in his money, in his trade of horses, and involvement with Egypt. And ultimately, in the end of the day, those are all microcosms for the macrocosm of what would happen to his people, Israel. He built the Beis HaMikdash, but there were hairline fractures when he built it. And those hairline fractures widened and widened and widened until finally they broke. And that happened at the time of Eicha. So it connects the word Eicha and the word Yashua, connects the personality of Yirmiyahu and Shlomo Melech, as in fact, the Arizal says that Shlomo Melech was a Gilgal, came back again. Yirmiyahu was a Gilgal of Shlomo. Yirmiyahu came back as the soul of Shlomo Melech. Fascinating, fascinating perspective. You're seeing this in the first pasuk. Let's look at another pasuk of note, pasuk Gimel. The aspect of the pasuk I'd like to focus on is the last two phrases, Kol Rodfeah Hisigua Bein Hametzorim. All her enemies accumulated upon her or captured her between the Mitzorim, between the straits, the Mepharshim try to draw out an image of being trapped between two walls, and there's nowhere to go, there's nowhere to hide. You are in a certain sense victim of anybody who wants to prey upon you. However, there's a deeper meaning over here, and that is that Chazal tell us that in fact Bein HaMetzorim refers to boundaries in time, not in place, meaning this is referring to a specific time of year between two boundaries, between Yud Zayin B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. Between those two, so to speak, gateways is when we're trapped. It's a bad time. Historically speaking, many tragedies have unfolded throughout Jewish history in this particular time, which is why Halakha reflects that, and it's not good to be involved in new and good things. While we have restrictions, it's not good to go have a court date. This is a bad time. Why call Rodfeah Sigur Ben Amasarim? It's a time where there's an opportunity for there to be kitruk, for there to be criticism leveled against us. We're going to close the first section. The second section of the Perek moves from Psukim Yud Aleph and to Chof Beis. What's unique about this section is when you read the Psukim inside, take a look and notice that the voice changes. It's no longer the outside onlooker who's saying, this is what's happening to Jerusalem. The voice is actually Jerusalem itself, Jerusalem itself personified, talking about her own state. She talks about the tone of when she describes the people who are murdered and violated. It's like a mother talking about her own children. They called upon me a time to kill, to break my young men. And Hashem trampled upon the daughters of Bas Yehuda. And she says, look at my pain. My children are going into exile. Another aspect of this is that Tzidduk HaDin is the ratifying the justice of Hashem. She says, Yerushalayim says, Tzadik Hashem. Hashem is truly righteous. Kifiu Morisi, because my mouth rebelled against him. And finally, at the last Yupsukim, you see that Yerushalayim prays to Hashem, reaches out to Hashem. She asks Hashem to see her pain. Re Hashem bekitzarli me'ai. Me'achama maru ne'pach libi bekirbi. Look how pained I am. See my abandonment, she says in Pasuk Chovalu. Shamu ki ne'elachon ani. See, I'm groaning and avenge my situation, she says in the last Pasuk. Tavoy kol rasam lefonecha v'ole lamai. Come, let all their evil come in front of you. These are the themes of the second section. Let's take a look at two psukim in focus, and with this we'll close today. The pasuk which is fascinating to focus on over here is pasuk Tezvav. Tezvav describes Kara olai moreid lishpor bachurai. They called upon me a time, a set time, to break my young men. Now, the word mo'ed, actually, of fixed time, appears numerous times in the Megillah and in our Perek. But this particular time is fascinating. What does it mean? On a derech pshat, on a most basic level, is explained that all the enemies decided, they set a date, let us go and destroy the nation of Israel, let us destroy Yerushalayim. However, in Halacha, it appears in a fascinating context. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes, this is quoted many times earlier, but as an idea that we don't say Tachnun on Tisha B'Av. Why not? Because Tisha B'Av is called Mo'ed. Mo'ed does mean a fixed time, but it also has a positive connotation of Mo'ed as a festival. So what the Halacha says is that your Tisha B'Av is called a Mo'ed, it's called a festival. Why, says the Aruch HaShulchan? Because it's a Simon, it is a sign. We know and we hope that in the future HaKadosh Baruch Hu will turn this time, this moment, to be a time of happiness. So even embedded in the difficulty of it being a time which the enemy is called upon us and against us, it is also a time where we have hope for the future. Finally, the last pasuk we're going to look at in focus today is pasuk Tezvav. And it's a very famous pasuk. There are songs made of this pasuk, which is Al Eile Ani Bochia. On these I cry, Eini Eini Yordamayim. My eyes, both my eyes, are dripping with water. Kirachok Mimeni Menachem Meshiv Nafshi. That distant from me is any comforter who wants to try to bring back my soul. What's this referring to? So the Gemara in Gittin takes a stab at this on Daf Nun Chesed Aleph and gives an example of what this could refer to, a specific case. Rav Yehuda quotes, it's a story of the children, the son and the daughter of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who was the Kohen Gadol. His two children, his daughter and his son, were taken into captivity, and the slave masters were busy gloating over their spoils. And they say, you know, I have this beautiful slave girl. The other one says, I have this beautiful slave boy. So they say, you know what, let's breed them. They put them in the same room, and they hope that they're going to breed them to have beautiful slave children between the two of them. And when they refuse to be together in the morning, they see that they are in fact siblings of one another, and they realize the pain of the situation, they embrace, and they die in the pain of the situation that they're in. And the Gemara says, that's the words that Yirmiyahu says, Al Eile Ani Bochia, is referring to this situation. In fact, there's another Medrash which talks about how Apas Yunus Caesar was sent three boats to bring back the children of Israel for all kinds of nefarious purposes in Rome, and they all jumped overboard. And at the time that they committed suicide, rather than to be taken to the dark market in Rome, Yosef Zabaskov at Sovchol, Eile Ani Bochia, Hashem calls out and says, on these I cry, Eini Eini Yordamayim, refers to this. What's fascinating about this is that this, in fact, there's a kina, one of the kinas in the morning of Tisha B'Av is written after this event that the Gemara in Gittin is talking about. And it's what's unique about it is it's not talking about the tragedy of all of Israel. It's talking about a very specific, personalized tragedy of two people, or these ships of these children. Why is there the shift from the national to the personal? Rav Soloveitchik points out in his commentary on Kinos is that sometimes it's hard to swallow the numbers, big numbers of tragedy. And, you know, we hear about, you know, and we think about the Holocaust. Can you even fathom what the number 6 million is? Can you even think what that means in practical terms? When have you ever seen 6 million anythings? Forget understanding the complex life of human beings, the histories that were wiped out. Sometimes in order to understand tragedy, we need to understand the personal tragedy. We need to take two people and understand what were their lives, what was it like, what was their suffering. And that becomes the example, that becomes the way of understanding and approaching the rest. And that's what's happening over here. And the Gemara is saying that Yerushalayim is turning and saying, I'm crying on every single individual tragedy. And finally, we'll close with a comforting thought, and that is when it says, Menachem Nash, and Nafshi, there's no comfort of my soul. The Medrash points out, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Tzadiches points out that the name of Mashiach will ultimately be Menachem. The name of Mashiach will be a person by the name of Menachem who will come and bring comfort to the nation of Israel. We should see him b'mheirah b'yameinu. Meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.